Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As you know, over the last few weeks, I've been talking about being in different boats and yet being in the same storm. And you know that. Some of us are not as affected by the storm. Some of us are seriously affected by the storm. Regardless of where we are, this message is entitled Stormproof. Now, like watches that are waterproof, they're never going to be water-free, but they're going to be waterproof. In the same way that you and I will never be storm-free, but we can become storm-proof. The story I'm about to unfold to you, or this message, is based on the life of a man named Noah, a man who went through history's worst storm with his family. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen," God is telling him something that no one else sees. This is faith. Faith is believing the thing that you don't yet see. "In holy fear, built an ark." Now, the point here was that God did not tell him to build a boat. He told him to build an ark. There are two places in Scripture where the word ark is used. Here, and the second one is in the Ark of the Covenant. The point of the ark is it's not a simply a boat or a ship, but a repository of the things that are valuable to God. And to God, the family was valuable. And to save Noah's family, he wanted him to build this repository. Now, how did he do that? Bible says he did it by faith. By faith, he condemned the whole world. Now, you're probably saying, "Pastor, he condemned the whole world." Now, simply put, this is what that means. The whole world was in a certain direction. It was evil, it was immoral, it was violent, it was unrighteous, it was wicked, it was disobedient towards God, it was headed away from God. All Noah did was, while the entire world was going this way, was to go the other way, headed towards God. He became a witness, and a witness who condemned the world. Now it says, because he condemned the world, he became heir of the righteousness that is by faith. What is an heir of righteousness? Someone who receives the best of the whole world, which is what literally happened after the flood was over. The righteous things of God, the best that God had for him, became his as an inheritance by faith. What is faith? Now, Scripture tells us in the same chapter of Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see, which is what happened with Noah. This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is confidence in the thing we hope for. In a very real sense, all of us have faith. Because faith is hope. And hope is the thing that wakes you up in the morning. Because you're hoping there's going to be good coffee, there's going to be a good day, my job's going to be fine, my family's going to be fine, the weather's going to be fine. That's all hope. The difference between faith in God is the substance or the confidence. If you're putting your faith or your hope in yourself, self-confidence, then that is self-faith. If you're putting your hope in your bank account, your job, or your present circumstance, or the things that you see, versus putting your confidence in the substance. The Bible says faith is the substance or the person or the confidence that we have in God. Then it changes everything. We do not see God, but we know that He's powerful. That's why Jesus said, it's not about the size of your faith, because if you have faith or you have hope that is not very big, but you have that hope in a big God, then that faith is powerful. That faith can, he said, move mountains. You can tell this mountain to go here to there, and it will do it, because nothing will be impossible for you. Simple principle is this: big hope in a small substance will produce little. Conversely, small hope in a big God will produce a lot. And that's where you want to be. Now, further it says in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2, it is not just the confidence in the thing we hope for, it is the assurance or the certainty about the things that we do not see. So what is faith? It's the confidence in the substance or God, and certainly it's the certainty of the thing we don't see. You're probably saying, "Huh? How do you do that? How can I be certain about something I don't see?" Well, the answer is in verse 3. By faith. Okay? By faith, it says, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. The universe didn't exist. It was invisible. But by the holy pronouncement of the word of God, the whole universe was formed. Not the earth. The entire universe that to this day is still being explored. The boundaries are so unfathomable. It says that the universe was formed at God's word. That's how you know for certain. So that what is seen was not made of what was made was not out of what was visible. In other words, for the thing that is created, that is seen, was created out of something that was not seen. That's the universe. The first truth, therefore, is to be certain of the power and reliability of God's word. At the beginning of the year when COVID started to hit, the concern that I had was for my children. I have three sons, and they have wives, and they have children. And I was concerned about their provisions. I was concerned about my youngest son, who was a realtor, and obviously the real estate business is suffering. My second son, who's in a startup business, and he had to cut his salary because he was the CEO of this company. And I began to pray with them with certainty and reliability in God's word, that my God will supply every need of yours, Joshua, David, and Joseph, Carla, of Christy, Yasmin. I'm believing that God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And what's the interesting thing that's happened is, it's been 6-7 months now, and God has fulfilled his word. How do we know the thing that we don't see? By trusting in the reliable and proven word of God. I began to pray 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound for every good work. And it's true of my children. They're actually a blessing that in as much as they don't even have the jobs that they have because God can certainly provide and his word is reliable. But second truth is to be certain that God creates something we see from something we don't see. That's important because what that means is if God can create an entire universe from his word, creating something we see from something we don't see, then we know that he can create the answers to our prayers. We know that he can meet all our provisional needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs, everything that we don't see, he can make to come to become a reality for us. That is faith. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 11, 1 and 2, faith is confidence in what we hope for. It's the assurance, the certainty of the thing we don't see. But thirdly, this is what the ancients were commended for. Faith, therefore, is not just confidence and certainty. It's a commendation. It is a commendation that God is giving people. In fact, if you read Hebrews 11, it is a chronicle of a commendation of people, the ancients, the forefathers of the faith. Notice in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. You got to be asking, how did he know that? Well, by faith. By faith, he knew that God was not just an ordinary person. He was not just a religion. He was the real God who created the universe and therefore deserves the best offering. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when he spoke well of his offerings. In other words, it was simply by faith that God commended him and said, I'm praising you because you did the right thing and because you gave me the right offering. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. And that's what faith does. We begin to speak. That's why we talk about Noah and Abel and Abraham and all these other people. Because to be commended means to be praised by no less than God himself. Secondly, it's to be able to speak to the generations even when you're dead. And finally, it is to be entrusted. That's what it means to be commended. Jesus said, into your hands I commend my spirit. When you commend your children to a nursery, you are entrusting them. And that's what God is doing to us when we have faith. He entrusts a revelation of who he is, which builds us more confidence to trust him. He gives us a commendation and entrusts to us the truth of his word, the certainty of that word that just causes us to be built even more by faith. Why is all of this important? Well, the first answer is because it pleases God. Down in chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. That's how you get faith, is because you believe in this invisible God, the certainty of who He is, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We all love rewards, don't we? I mean, when we get our credit cards, rewards, points for rewards, or children who are being said, oh, you're going to get a reward if you eat your vegetables or something. Rewards are important. What exactly is the reward of those who please God? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26 captures that. To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. There's that commendation. He entrusts you with His wisdom. He entrusts you with His knowledge. And He entrusts you with happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. And that's why it's important. It's important when we please God, because when we please God, what happens next is it makes us righteous. That's why you saw that by faith, Noah became the heir of righteousness, and by faith, Abel was made righteous. Because when we please God, righteousness happens to us. He makes us righteous. Now, in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says, however, to the one who does not work but trusts God. Notice, there's somebody who works on this, but to the one who does not work on this, but who trusts on the God who justifies or makes right the ungodly, the unholy, the sinner, the unrighteous, their faith is credited to them as righteousness. In other words, he didn't even work on it. His faith is what became his righteousness because he believed in this righteous God. Now, let me explain all of this. You're probably saying, who cares about righteousness? Well, let me tell you what righteousness is. Righteousness is like this gigantic, massive, tall, ever, never-ending building that reaches to the skies. It's a God standard. It's so high, you can't reach it. Righteousness, therefore, is God's holy standard that is so high, it is beyond your reach, beyond my reach. That even if I donated my brain and every part of my body and gave away all my money, my righteousness would not even make it 0.1% of the righteousness of God, because God is so righteous, His standard is so high, it is beyond reach. The only way to get there is by faith. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, you will not see the Lord. Without righteousness, without God making you right, you're not going to see God. Now, Pastor, I have a question. Why does it say make every effort to be holy? Why is that saying that? Why is it saying that I have to make effort when you said I can't even get there? Where the reality is, it's impossible for us to get there. But then there's the matter of our faith being alive or dead. James chapter 2, 26 says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, in other words, obvious, when your body's there but your spirit is not there, then it's dead. So also, faith apart from works is dead. In other words, if you claim to have this faith, but you're not really taking effort to move, then the reality is you don't have that faith. People who have hope in something that is great wake up in the morning, expect them to give it their best because they know that faith works. And thus, they give their best. Now, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, the Bible says. When we have the righteousness of God, when we pray because we please God, we get our answers. And whatever you ask in prayer, Jesus said, you will receive if you have faith. So why is it important? Because it pleases God. And because it pleases God, it makes you righteous, which gives you the ability to access God, to see God, to be with God. But more importantly, it makes us whole. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is alive and active. The thing that we're certain about, this word of God is not just a physical manifestation in a page. It is actually living and active. And it's sharper and able to penetrate to the dividing of your soul and your spirit and your body. It's able to divide those three facets of you. The thing that makes you whole is when all these three things come together. Now, your soul is comprised of your mind. Your mind is your thoughts, your memory, your imagination. Your will is your motivation, that thing that wants you to go forward, that causes you to will things. And your emotions are your feelings, your emotions. Your body is your brain. Your mind is contained in a physical brain. Your will is contained in a set of lungs that makes you go and move. And your emotions are contained in a heart that makes you pump the whole thing working for you. This, the Bible calls, your flesh. And herein lies the problem. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God. Our minds, the way we think, our wills, because of the sinful nature in us, our emotions, are contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They cannot work together. They are actually, the Bible says, in conflict with one another. If that's the problem, then how do I solve this? Well, you need a Spirit to have faith. That faith is from the Spirit to God. When we trust with confidence in God, the certainty in God, the commendation of God that pleases Him, that makes us righteous, we become whole. Because now that faith causes our minds to be renewed. And as that mind is renewed, our will changes, our motivations, the desires of our heart changes, and our emotions become one. And then the rest is history. Our body simply follows. Our body simply obeys. Our body simply says, I'm going to take care of my body because God says my body is to honor Him. I'm going to take care of my finances because He says that I'm to be a good steward. In other words, the rest will just follow naturally by faith. So why is this important? It pleases God. It makes us righteous. It makes us whole. And this is important if we're going to be stormproof in a season of violent storms. Final question is, how do we get faith? How do you get it? Well, to start with, you need to hear and meditate. When you hear the Word of God and you meditate on the Word of God, you will have faith. Romans chapter 10, 17 says, so faith comes from hearing. Back in those days, they didn't have videos or podcasts or CDs. They didn't have any of those. What they had was people preaching and they were hearing. And the more they heard the Word through the lenses of Christ, that the very words of Jesus were living and active. The more they heard that, they had faith. I want to show you a video of my six-year-old grandson, Philip, who has a conference call with his other cousins with my wife. My wife imparting faith to them. And this video shows Philip reciting a psalm while his grandmother is listening and his father was right beside him. Watch this video for a bit and I'll be back.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me through paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff will comfort me. Anoint my head with oil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That's amazing.
Yay! That's wonderful!
Bravo, Philip. I hope you're watching my six-year-old grandson. And you saw the moment when he looked at his father and he was trying to get validated, because when my sons were small, we made them meditate on the Word of God. A few years ago, when Philip was 3 years old, he came to Singapore. And I remember we brought him to a water park and he wouldn't get in the water. And the water was waist high to his father, and his father kept calling him and says, Philip, come. And he would say, he didn't want to go. Come, come. And slowly but slowly, he started coming. The word of the person that you trust. The more you hear that word, and the more you become confident of that word, And the more you become certain that that word is reliable and trustworthy and able to produce the visible from what is invisible, and that you realize that I'm being commended by God because I put my hope and trust and faith and confidence and certainty in Him, my grandson ended up in the water. I was reminded of this story because I saw a picture of him recently out in the lake, fearless. He's out in the lake just recently with his father in the United States. Faith comes to us when we become whole, when we begin to hear that word, when that word and that meditation of that word feeds our spirit and our spirits begin to feed the rest of our body. That's what faith is. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, and refuses to sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight, his desire, the passion of his life is in the word of God, and on his law he meditates day and night." That's the power of this thing. Now you might not be like Philip. Maybe you're like me. I'm not good with memorizing. But I know this word, and I think of it constantly. I meditate on this word day and night. And the promise is, I will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaves will not wither. I will thrive. In all that I do, it says, I will prosper. This is how you get faith. The more you hear that word and the more you meditate on that word, the truth of who you are in God manifests in every facet of your life. So how do you get faith? Number two is walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The more you walk and try to walk on the thing that you see, the less of the faith that this word is teaching us tells us. To walk by faith means every moment. Faith is not a moment, but moment to moment. That's why it says faith to faith, glory to glory. It's nonstop. You just keep walking in faith. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, "But I say walk by the Spirit." Because when you walk by the Spirit, guess what happens? You will not gratify the flesh. The flesh dies because the more you walk in the Spirit of God, the more you realize how pleasurable it is to be with Him. And then it goes on to say in Amos 3 verse 3, "Do two walk together unless they agree to do so?" How are you going to walk with God? By agreeing with Him. And how do you do that? By faith. So how do you get faith? You hear God, you walk by faith, you meditate on His word, and finally, you live by faith. Romans 1:17 says, "In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed." There it is. In Jesus, the revelation of the righteousness of God, the fullness of the expression of this holy, amazing, wonderful God. A righteousness that cannot be achieved, that is from faith by faith from the beginning to the end. You're not going to make it without faith. Faith and righteousness are inextricably connected, and it is from the day one to the day end. It is always by faith. Just as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." That's how you do it. When you walk every day following God in agreement with Him, and you understand that this entire life is to be lived out in faith, because anything that is not of faith is sin. Disconnects us from God. Faith is like prayer. They come together. They're glove in hand. If you have faith, then it never stops. You just keep going and going and going. Final point, be a goldfish. A goldfish existence in certainty and confidence can only be in God. In other words, if nobody feeds him, he's dead. And what does a goldfish have to do? All he has to do is stay in the water. Be in faith. Because the righteous shall live by faith, the goldfish shall live by water. If he tries to attempt to jump out of that water, he's dead. And so are you. When you stay in that water of faith, and you breathe that thing in and out, the confidence, the certainty, the commendation, "I'm pleasing to God. I'm righteous in God. I'm made whole in God." When I meditate on that word day and night, and that word begins to permeate my soul, my mind, my spirit, and my heart begins to pump that to every part of my body, I begin to walk in faith. And as I walk in faith, I begin to realize how pleasurable, how wonderful, how nice, how life-giving. I decide I'm just going to live this way. I'm just going to be this little old goldfish and stay in my bowl. That's faith. As I close in the meditation of God's word, I want us to proclaim Jesus, the basis of our faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our hope, our confidence, our certainty is in you. And in you alone. We boast in you and do not put our confidence in the flesh, any flesh, our flesh, any other thing that we can see. We boast in the grace by which we stand that we have gained access to by putting our faith in you. May we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory as we put our trust in you and no one else. Be glorified in our lives today, God. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.